Welcome to the show, guys. Hope you're having a great evening. It's pretty late in the night. It's been a long day, and I'm just coming to you live, sharing my thoughts, sharing my feedback on today in a world where we just don't know what to think. We don't know what's going on. Well, some of us. It's scary right now. It's very scary. I guess we lost a Supreme Court justice. Yay for some of us, nay for some of us. My thoughts on the whole thing is that when it comes to democracy, when it comes to decisions that are important to you, important to your family, make sure you're voting. Make sure that you get out the vote. Make sure that you push your neighbors, you push your friends to drop off their ballots, to make sure that you're registered to vote. Because if you don't want something to happen, such as losing a Supreme Court justice, which will affect the decisions in the future, will affect major life changes and major decisions down the line, then what you have the right to do, what you are privileged, all of us are privileged with, here in America, if you're able to register to vote, depending on your state, is you have the right to vote, to ensure that your beliefs, your values, are upheld by the Supreme Court, whether it's Planned Parenthood or pro-choice or guns or, there's so many things that go through to the Supreme Court judges. And you have the right as a citizen, and if you're a registered voter, to make sure that your voice is heard. And the matter of fact is that the Supreme Court and the Supreme Court justices are the ones that uphold those very, very contested and controversy issues. So it's important to make sure that you vote during not only the big elections, not only the elections every 4 years, which are the presidential elections. Those are huge. But it's very important that you're voting every 2 years. You're voting for your, it really starts down at your local level, your legislative district, and voting for, your PCOs and being involved there, but voting for your city councilmen or women, voting for, your state representatives, voting for the House, voting for the Congress, and making sure that your side is in the House, whether it's Democrats or Republican, or independent. But making sure that whatever values you support or you believe in, the people that you're voting into the House of Representatives or into the legislature, support those values. So at the end of the day, especially like a day like yesterday, that those decisions are going to come down and you played a part in it. And, the thing that is frustrating to me that I see is, when people think that their vote doesn't matter. I'm African American. I grew up in the projects. I didn't have a privileged life growing up. I grew up poor. I grew up in the foster care system. I did not have an ideal upbringing, in a cookie cutter family. We traveled a lot around the U.S. I went to several different schools. I didn't have a trust fund or a college fund. I struggled. Me and my sisters, we struggled growing up. We learned what we could, but we were surviving. We were surviving. I didn't learn too much about the politics. I didn't learn much about taxes. I didn't learn that stuff in school, and that's not something that we spoke about or talked about in my home, in our homes, our foster homes. So I didn't know too much growing up. And something that I hear a lot in Black communities, or minorities, and people of color, just people in my neighborhood or communities sometimes, is people just don't believe that one vote matters, or they're not going to make a difference if they vote or they don't vote. But I can't even stress or begin to tell you that there have races and elections sometimes do come down to single votes, or a few percent. The first time I could vote was back in 2001, and it was a very intense race. Senator John Kerry, and Senator John Kerry and George W. Bush, Jr. It was that election, and that was the first time I could vote. I did vote. I went to my local school, got my vote on, got my sticker. I was very proud. But if you remember that election, or you don't, it came down to, I think, Ohio, or the point I'm making is it came down to just a few votes, and I believe there's a recount. Don't quote me, because my memory's not the best. That was quite some time ago. But it came down to just a few votes, a few thousand, whatnot. Every vote counts. I think it's important that we share that with others as we're approaching election season coming up here in November, for Washington. Now, there are elections going on all over the US right now. And maybe your candidate's winning, maybe your candidate has won, maybe you're working on a campaign, or maybe you're somebody that has never voted, and you have the right, what I call you're privileged, because and that's a whole subject in itself. But when I'm speaking about privileged right now, I'm speaking about we have the privilege to vote. And not everybody may see that as a privilege, but what I mean by that is that I have the privilege to vote, versus in some states this felon can't vote, or this person, for whatever reason, their state laws makes it so they can't vote, or they didn't register in time, so they can't vote. So, I do have the privilege to vote. So, if you're one of those people, or one of those, young adults, or possibly a teenager, and you haven't voted yet, just know that you have the privilege to vote, and the votes, the what you're voting for, it may not mean much for you. And I have to remind myself of those things sometimes when it comes to what's on a ballot or an initiative at the time. But it's going to make a difference for the future, for your children or your grandchildren or your nieces or your nephews, if you don't have children. It's going to make a difference for our future. So it's very important. It's very important that if you don't like what happened, with the Supreme Court justice, stepping down and the Republicans taking over that spot, then you have to get out. You have to vote. You have to vote. And it's really, I mean, it's so easy to vote nowadays. I mean, they mail, some of us get a mailed ballot and you fill it out and you drop it off or you put it in the mail. There's really no excuse not to vote nowadays. So please, get out the vote, encourage others to get out the vote. And if you're gung-ho and you really want to make a difference, there's so many ways to get involved. There's so many ways to get involved. Like I was saying, growing up for me was very challenging. Moving around a lot, having to worry about how we were going to eat, having to worry about where we were going to sleep, having to worry about basic necessities that other children didn't have to worry about. Those times were very hard to get through. I found it very, very hard to focus on schoolwork, to focus on academics, to really focus on my future, let alone focus on college. That was just something that wasn't in the front of my, forefront of my brain, of my mind. I wasn't thinking about it. I was thinking about, today, tomorrow, my mom and dad were fighting or, what was going on in the moment. And those things made it really hard for me to focus on something such as, politics or what was happening in the world around me. I thought to myself, who cares? Who cares? What does it matter? What does it matter? But it does. It does matter. It's very important. And, I would definitely say from someone such as myself that came from an upbringing that from very underprivileged, very poor on food stamps, I overcame those things and I overcame those objections because I looked at the others around me and thought to myself, okay, why do those people not those people, but why is it that person over there had so many things that I want and I don't have those things? Why do I have to worry about where am I going to sleep or what I'm going to eat for dinner? Sometimes, it wasn't always that way, but sometimes. And as I started to think about it, I started to watch, what are they doing? What are they doing? Is it a matter of they just have money? And yeah, it does come down to that. But when you get to an age where, you can work and on your own or, you have access to jobs, I thought, okay, well, I'll go to work. And I started working when I was 15. And I went to high school. I moved out when I was 15. I moved out on my own with my sister. She was 17. Got a place. I promised myself I'd go to the same high school. And I'd never went to a school longer than 2 years. Never than 2 years. So I promised myself I would go to the same school for 4 years. So it was high school. Because I wanted a different life for myself. I knew eventually I'd have children. That's what I wanted. And I wanted a picket fence and a white house and to be a doctor. But I knew that the ways that I learned growing up, it was not the ways that I would achieve those things. So I started working at the age of 15. And I focused on my academics. I focused on schools. I got schooling. I got involved. With extra curriculum activities, or Service Corps, whoop whoop. I ran for freshman class treasurer of my high school, and I tied. So that was my first election that I won. My only, well, that's not my only election, but that was my first election that I won. And then I signed up for Running Start, and so I started to at the local college, went to down the school, down the Highline Community College in Des Moines, Washington. So I went to college when I was 16 and went to high school while I was working. Started working out at church camp, Camp Arnold, and you know, I stuck with that. And you know, my parents, they, you know, they were on their quest and doing what they were doing. But I knew that it was my life, and I had to step up if I wanted a future for myself. And I couldn't blame my parents for my mis and unfortunates for the rest of my life. So, you know, I took ownership of that, and I started to pave a way for myself through hard work. You know, and that's the key of what has been what I'd like to think of my success so far is you know, hard work and sticking with it. So I paved my way by working hard. Now it was a rocky road through high school and whatnot. I still worked every year. I've still have not missed I've not missed a year without working. That was key. That's been key and critical. But you know, I stuck with my work. I did honors classes, and I didn't finish. I did not finish college. You know, in high school, I wanted to, and you know, I found myself. I got involved in partying. You know, I got distracted in high school. I started partying and doing that thing, and you know, it was a big deterrent away from my education, away from my future. And frankly, I regret it. I regret it big time. Because here I am. Here I am. The partying's still there. The partying is still there. It's always gonna be there. You know, I wish I would have stuck with that and focused on the matters at hand, and that was finishing school. Finishing school and in my education. But yeah, so working hard certainly does pay off in the end. But during those times in high school, I would watch I'd watch the news on my own, and that's kind of how I figured out, you know, I didn't know what a Democrat was. I didn't understand what a Republican was. I didn't pay attention in history. Oh man, I was the worst. I would sit in the front of the classroom and I'd fall asleep. I didn't really get it. I didn't understand how important it was. I didn't understand how important history was. And I'm still learning. I'm still learning. But I didn't understand those things. I didn't understand history and voting and how important that was. So, you know, what I did is I watched the news and I just listened to debates, the presidential debates, and I decided, well, who's making more sense to me? You know, what do I stand for? It's a person on the television when they speak, you know, the presidential candidate. Are the things they saying are those things the things that I agree with more? And that's how I figured out, you know, if I was gonna be a Democrat, a Republican, or independent. Now that may not be the best way to do it, but it's what worked for me. One, I didn't really take authority too well. I didn't really like to listen to, I didn't really like to have people tell me what to do. And that's how it was. although my parents were in the military, I still didn't like, authority was not something that rolled over too smoothly with me. I felt that I was always right and superior, which I call it being hard-headed. but yeah, that's how I decided, you know, okay, then I'm gonna roll with the Democrats. You know, and that's how I figured it out. But no one taught me in school, you know, this is how you vote and this is how this works. You know, I kind of had to learn those things on my own. And it wasn't until I just was in a very dark spot, in a place of just wanting some change in my life, to someone came and they educated me a little bit about politics. Now, I never really had a great interest in politics. I thought they were boring. I thought they were stupid. I look on the TV before Obama, okay? Before Obama came around, you look on the TV and I see these old white men, and I'm thinking, all right, whoop-de-doo, you know, what's this white guy's on TV, so what? He's, you know, he's in office, he's in power, he's control. You know, I'm not seeing any black women, you know, on the television. I'm not seeing, you know, too many, you know, people of color on the television. So, frankly, what does it matter? What does it matter? You know, why would I care to vote? You know, it just didn't, there was no connection there. There was no connection. There's a disconnect of what I'd see in the mirror and wanting to happen or see happen and what was reality. So when my good friend Wesley Irwin, who I later came to run a campaign for state house legislator, he came and he educated me. Now, he did it in a very, very, very smart way, that grabbed my attention. And he talked about Dr. Martin Luther King. Now, I don't care where you're from, who you are, what color you are, what gender you are, what sex, what race, what creed, what religion. You know who Dr. Martin Luther King is, and you know the movement that he created. You know him wanting to bring people together to create a change. And my good friend Wesley started talking about, you know, Dr. Martin Luther King. You know, something went off, a bell went off. And, you know, Dr. Martin Luther King did make a huge impact on my life. You know, and I got involved from then on, and, you know, I'm still involved, and, you know, to the point of today, doing as much as I can. You know, did I mention that I'm a mother of two? You know, it definitely has not been an easy life. But, you know, after the day like today, you know, it's so important to remind yourself that you can make a difference, that your vote matters, that your vote counts. Hey, 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 thank you so much for tuning in tonight. Tonight is a special night. I'm very happy to introduce one of my best friends. And I have a lot of best friends, but me and this gal go way back. And so I'm just going to do a brief little interview with her. Without further ado, this is Mary Beliza. Well, how do I say, you said it was Mary Beliza or Mary?
Mary Beliza. What's up, guys? I'm happy to be here with my chick, Danaya. It's been like 10 years, no lie. So I'm happy to see what this night brings.
I think it's going to be great, Mary, and I'm glad that you're here with me tonight.
It's going to be epic. I'm excited.
It's going to be epic.
Yeah.
And so tell me, Mary, people don't know you, and in my first podcast that I did, I introduced myself to the world and gave them a really just raw look at who I was and my imperfections, my discrepancies. I said a lot of things that weren't correct, and I need to watch what I say because I'm not that educated, but it was just really me and the mistakes that I did make in there. I just want to say I made some mistakes, and I think we all know what those are, and I'm not perfect, I'm not human, and so I will correct those. But anyways, Mary.
Yeah, I gotta say something, though. We all make mistakes, and that's what makes us human. What makes us a better human is when we learn from those mistakes and when we can be accountable for those mistakes. So, Danaya, I think you're doing a great job opening up, trying to better yourself. I commend you for that.
Well, thank you so much, Mary.
You're welcome.
I'm just going to dive right into it because I like to get a raw sense, and I want to get a raw sense for who you are. Okay, Mary, so tell us a little bit about you and what it was like growing up, where you grew up and how you grew up, and let's start there.
Oh wow, you're really getting deep. Well, you know, I started out in North Seattle. I'm the only child. So I'm pretty...
Puerto Ricans are loud.
Thanks for pointing that out because I've been allowed all my life. And I've been put down for that, but that's okay.
I love you.
I don't care because you know what? I now know that I'm meant to be loud. I've met my Puerto Rican family, some of them, and they're louder than I am, and they have thicker mustaches than me. So that's okay.
You look great.
Thank you. Well, you know, I'm just my little shape now, but that's okay. I'm not mad.
By the way, nobody's louder than Mary Beliza, especially when she's mad.
And I don't even know that I get loud. I'm probably screaming right now, but that's okay. So, you know, my upbringing was pretty normal. Nothing to write home about. But after I turned 18, I went and explored the world, and I met some great friends.
You did?
Yeah.
You've been a lot more places than I have been, for sure.
Yeah, maybe. But you know what? It's always fun traveling with a friend. So.
So you grew up with your mother, your father, which I adore. They're very kind people. I mean, you just bought me some groceries over.
I did.
Your mom went grocery shopping and bought me some food.
Look, we can't let our friends starve. My mom grew up with less. She knows how it is, and she will do her damnedest to help anybody in need.
Thank you very much for that.
Seriously, all I needed to do was make one phone call, and she went to the store.
She's good people.
No lie. She's good people. If I could be half the woman my mom is, I would be in a good place.
Okay.
Seriously.
She's a good person. So just kind of to stay on track here with my thoughts of trying to paint this person that
I try to deviate from myself.
That I love about Mary. So you grew up in Washington State or
Washington State, born and raised.
And born and raised here.
Seattle, North Seattle, represent Northgate.
Represent Northgate. Okay. So she's from the Northgate area.
Not the hood, but not the suburbs either. You know, we had enough, and that's all I needed. I was raised to work hard, work for what I wanted. No lie, I bought my first Nintendo. I paid half for it because I earned it.
She earned it.
And
she
still have that Nintendo to my day.
You've always been a hard worker. We work together on... Tell them how we met.
Oh, wow. We met on the Victoria Clipper. We worked together. You know, and it's funny because I think we worked at least a few months together. And I would leave work without talking to anybody. I was a complete ass. And all of a sudden, my love life changed. And I won't say who, but I overheard some conversation about some coworkers going to the bar. And I actually manned up and chimed in and said, hey, can I come along? And the rest was epic history.
I made some
great friends.
Yes.
It was a blast. I had some good times with some new guys and... made some good friends.
Yeah, me and Mary, we worked on the Victoria Clipper. For those that aren't familiar, there's the Seattle Pike Place Market, and then if you go down north, I think it's Pier 55.
Yeah, on Alaskan Way.
Yes, and then it's the fastest catamaran. I mean, I have to call the Victoria Clipper and ask for a sponsorship, but
right?
The fastest catamaran service to and from Victoria Clipper.
Exactly. They have a new boat now. It's even faster. Yeah. We worked there, just about a year?
Just about a year.
Worked our ass off, but had a lot of fun. So I consider myself half Canadian at that point.
Same. We're at the Empress drinking tea at high noon.
Tea and crumpets. No, but it was a good time. And after that, we went to Hawaii.
And that was a fun experience.
I think that's when I really kind of grew up, because I was away from home.
Well, wait. How did we go to Hawaii?
We saw an ad in the newspaper. Please, people. We were still getting ads in the newspaper. There was no Craigslist, okay? Where was in the Seattle Times? I think I found this ad, and I dragged Danae with me to the hotel. We had a short orientation. And they hired us on the spot to go to Hawaii. I thought it was all fake until I got the call.
Well, yeah. And I think that's where you started. I started when that big boat came into port. And it was the Pride of America. NCL, Norwegian Cruise Line. NCL America and the Pride of America came into our port. And I was like, whoa. And then I think you came into work and you're like, D-D-D.
Look. Those cruise ships, man.
And next thing you know,
we're on a plane to go on a boat.
We went to Oahu.
We flew into Oahu, and then we went to a training center for a little bit, and then we went to a resort. A really nice resort.
Yeah, I think that's when we started to. I don't know. For me, I started to realize that I was doing something that was kind of like a dream come true.
Absolutely.
To just, you know, 25, 26 years old,
yeah,
to just go to Hawaii, and work as a waiter and make, you know, that much money.
And new friends from everywhere. Yeah, we worked our ass off. We had, one night off maybe in a couple weeks. We worked straight up 5 months in a row, plus the training, which was a month. We went to fire school. We learned how to be great firefighters, by the way. We kicked ass in that.
There's a picture of me and Mary. You know what? Maybe I'll make it our picture. I'll make it our firefighter picture.
Oh, yeah, you should.
I will.
Put it on that, because that is killer. I think we're babies in that picture, though.
We are tiny. We're babies in that picture.
Yeah.
So, yeah, me and Mary, we've definitely been on some adventures from Seattle to Hawaii to back here. I think we're due
for another adventure.
We're definitely due to go book it somewhere else.
Yeah, but you know what?
Puerto Rico, I think.
Oh, Puerto Rico.
Or Rio de Janeiro.
Okay, that's great. You know, I always wanted to sail the Panama Canal. But
I think it'd be beautiful. And the reason I wanted to bring Mary on the show is I wanted to ask her some questions. So, you know, now that you get to a little idea of like who I'm dealing with here, and you know, she's just who she is, and I haven't thought about these questions, but the first question I want to open up with Mary, okay? Mary.
Yeah.
Let's see. And this is fun for anybody, I think. Okay, Mary, when you were growing up as a kid, and you look at your life today, did you think this is the life that you would be living as whatever age you are today?
Absolutely not.
What did you picture? I'm so curious, as my friend, what did you picture that life being?
I think I pictured my life being just like my parents. I thought I would probably be married by now. Living with a dude, maybe having a child at some point, you know, bringing that child over to my parents' house, you know, for Sunday dinners or what have you.
Right.
Because I'm 36, like, I thought I'd be settled down by now, but I'm not ready to settle down. My mind is not there.
There's no rules to the game.
There's no rules to the game, and I'm cool with that. Really, I'm not a planner. I live day by day. I live actually hour by hour. I don't like to make plans. I don't like to commit. And that's something you need to work on, but at the same time, that's who I am.
And that's great.
That's it.
I like what the thing about I love about Mary is that she has this very raw way to just be very honest. And that's the one thing I appreciate about Mary. And so I just wanted to kind of, you guys get to know her a little bit.
Oh,
and I have
nice.
To ask, me and Mary, guys, listen. Me and Mary, we have never, ever, I don't think we really ever talked about politics.
No, never.
I don't know where she stands on politics. But I'm going to go there.
You can go there. Really.
Because this, my podcast, the first episode was called Rock the Vote. And this episode is, I don't know what it's going to be called such yet, but let's go there, Mary.
We can go there.
What do you see as the three really important things with the political world, whether it's today or globally, that should be, you know, people should be aware of? What are three major things? Whether
she's asking me like I really know anything about politics.
Well, whether,
that's hilarious.
Yes.
No. You know. You know, it's one thing I didn't know about Danae is how passionate she was about politics. And now I'm on the spot. No, really. It's funny that you asked, though. My passion really right now is healthcare.
Mm-hmm.
I find it absolutely horrendous, the healthcare that we have in this country.
Okay.
The prices that people have to pay for good healthcare is absolutely ridiculous. The money that healthcare institutions and pharmaceutical companies make is out of this world, and for them not to give back to who actually pays their bills is frustrating.
And let me just say for the record, Mary, she does work at a I won't say where she works exactly, but she does have a knowledge in healthcare system. I don't know if you want to disclose where you work. I don't know your work thing there, but
no, I just work at a pretty high end insurance company where you know, they are striving to make a little bit of a change with their costs, but overall, I think this country needs to take a deep look into pharmaceuticals and into healthcare and to see how we can rectify so everybody can get good healthcare. People deserve good healthcare.
Yes.
Period.
Kudos to that. Kudos. I think that you said something very interesting there, and that people do definitely deserve good healthcare no matter where we go, and that's just a given. And so that kind of leads me into this one. So the first thing for you would be healthcare, right?
Period. Yeah.
So I'm gonna say, fine, your lady president. Dun, 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 dun.
Bring it on.
Your lady president, okay? How do we solve the healthcare problem?
Yeah, good question. How do we? That would take a huge team of forensic accountants to go back, of people to go back into records, see how much we're really spending, you know, to do research, to produce the pharmaceuticals. Think about it. Treatment for HIV, mm-hmm. for cancer drugs, for even an anti-nausea pill for a cancer drug, you're paying $300 plus a pill.
For a pill.
Per pill. Where is that cost coming from? We need to know, how much are we spending on the research? How much are we spending on the ingredients and the scientists to put all that into production?
Oh.
You know, why are we charging so much? And I think that's where you start with the cost.
Oh.
And then you put a...
So you start off with cost basis.
And then you put a percentage on that, and that's what you earn. I think there should be a standard percentage on medications.
So wholesale. So you're talking about you get a wholesale discount price based off of the...
Yeah, but I mean, it has to be one percentage. Like... for drugs, and it can't be, oh, I'm going to charge 50% or 150% for the cancer drug, but I'm going to go ahead and give this Vicodin free with your health plan.
And by the way, you might become addicted to it, and you might be on opiates
for the rest of your life because you've gotten a car accident, your back hurt, and your doctor overprescribed. I mean, it's just, it's so screwed up.
Yes, and that's the other thing, and we don't have to go there right now, but since we kind of talked about that too, and I think that, I definitely think when you look at the budgets, mm-hmm. and when you look at Medicare and the cost of Medicare, okay, mm-hmm. not everybody, I do like to toot my horn, but I enjoy looking at all of the commas when there's a whole bunch of zeros and there's a dollar okay. sign at the front.
Who doesn't?
Right? But when we look at the cost of things, that's instrumental to anything. The budget is everything. If you have the right budget, then you have it. And I know that our governor here in this state, he just submitted a big like $19.3 million budget, and was talking about healthcare and in some shape or form, but he was talking about the opiate crisis. Mary, we're and it's such a broad,
it's huge.
I mean, it's such a broad. I mean, we're going
it's
out.
Everywhere.
We're going hand in hand out to the yeah. sun. What do you think about that? Just what do you?
Oh
think?
Man, it hurts bad. You see these people struggling to live life, and I'm sorry, but I don't think you'll find one person who doesn't want to change their life. They just need direction. They need the services. They need the help. And you know what? If we need to pour money into it, fine. If you change the person, you're going to get productive people out of society. A lot of these people started as businessmen, as people, as moms, as anybody who had a house and a home and a family, and one pill turned into 10, turned into an addiction. It can happen to anybody. I don't care if you're a millionaire or if you're a dollar-air. Yeah. Addiction is not choosy. Does not discriminate. Addiction doesn't discriminate.
I like that.
I can ramble on and on. I probably just go nowhere with this.
No, but I think that you're right. The addiction is... Addiction does not discriminate. It does not. It chooses whoever it wants and whoever chooses it.
If you have the genes, if you have that shitty gene where, you got stuck with the addiction part, it's going to choose you, period. And that could come from, someone living in Bellevue in a mansion, or someone living on the street.
And
genetics, baby.
A lot of it is genetics and the other thing is that whenever I try to do my best to be empathetic, and that's, everybody learns differently. But what do you say, Mary, because you sound like very knowledgeable, and I know you when you speak, you don't talk just to talk.
I don't.
Right?
Right.
So what do you tell that 13-year-old, what do you tell that 16-year-old that is out there? They're out there, they're grinding every day. You know what I'm talking about, to get that money, get that next high. What do you tell them as somebody that's like, older, that's mature, but you want to help them? How do you get through?
How do you get through? Kids these days, they think they know it all. And even if you say, hey, I've been there, I've done that, this is what's going to happen, you can't really get through to them. I think you can be there as a friend. You can offer your help. You can, give them all the resources you need to, but they have to decide to make that change. They need to know that they're worth it. Make them feel worthy. Build them up.
Yes.
That's part of it. Your self-esteem is so all below the ground. The only thing that makes you feel better is that drug. So be that friend.
You know what else I like too? I love the fact that, not just here where we live, but a lot of cities I see mirroring this concept of building arts, mixing it with city and mixing it with the youth, so that we are not having a negative connotation, or we're not, we're doing this positive sort of spin.
Right.
Look, we're doing an art walk or whatnot, and we're doing, you can adopt a garden and
yeah,
our mural, and Right.
You know,
and
paint the mural. Keep them busy. Keep their minds somewhere else.
Yes.
We do not have enough programs or access to the programs. You might have 100 programs, but if it costs $1,000 and the kid down the block who barely has food in their mouth can't afford it, that's the person that's going to be at risk. We need to have access to programs for every child.
Absolutely. And, you know, Mary, I think that's that those just, who knows, maybe if you save one, then you've made a difference.
And absolutely.
And you've made an impact on somebody's life. Yeah. And when you have that done to you, that is so special. And you never forget those times. You never
absolutely.
And so that matters. And then, Mary, as we kind of cap off here, mm-hmm. Are you enjoying the show so far, Mary?
Oh, man. I never thought I'd do a podcast in my life. This
okay.
is amazing.
This is new for us.
It's very new.
We have not scripted any of this. We're going off the whim here. But, Mary, I'm just going to give you the mic here and give you a couple of seconds.
You're funny.
But I will give you some... a couple questions here maybe that I'm curious about, something maybe I knew nothing about. So I want to know your favorite recipe as we can go two ways because I see your eyes, you're like either favorite recipe,
okay,
or I want to know, and not everybody has this, but I want to know your perfect day.
My perfect day?
My teacher did this one day.
Wow.
What is your perfect 24 hours?
24 hours? You know, and I've said this within the last couple days, I want to be in a cruise ship. I want to wake up in a stateroom with a veranda, be able to put on, you know, my sweatshirt and slippers, walk outside.
Go to the Hookie Lounge.
Uh-huh. Right?
January 19th, they'll be here. I can't believe it.
Wow. And I just want to see, I don't care if it's Panama Canal, I don't care if it's glaciers in Alaska. I want to be on a cruise ship.
That's your day.
Period. That's my day. Right there.
We have similar days. Mine, when I did mine, it was actually a picture of an island.
Nice.
And all see-through blue water.
Like in Kona. Remember that blue water in
Kona?
Oh, Kona. You could see all the way down.
As we just went out to that, we always went to the Hard Rock Cafe.
Yeah.
That was our favorite.
That was
our absolute favorite.
Drinking lava flows. It's crazy.
And we had so much fun. And Mary.
Danae.
I think we're going to have to do another show together. I
think you think?
I think this is going to be...
Did I pass the test?
There was no test, but it there might be a sponsored test, maybe. Who knows?
Hint.
there's never a test when it comes to just speaking our mind and our opinions. And
true.
Who are we? What are we? What do we stand for? We're kind of getting to know that in a different way, exploring... Really? You know, different, getting to know each other in different avenues and putting that out publicly, which...
Yeah, it could be a little scary, but you know what? Yeah. We're in our 30s. Let's do it.
Why not? And,
right? You're in your 30s now, right?
35.
Oh, shoot. Time flies.
How old are you?
36.
Yes.
Can you believe that? I'm closer to 40 now.
We're best friends, and, you know, I appreciate Mary. And, like I said, and Mary said something important, and it stuck with me all the way through the show, was don't apologize for being who you are. You don't have to do that. You did say that, right?
I did.
Okay, because I...
Do not apologize for...
Don't do it. Don't do it. You don't
People
have to do it.
People make mistakes. It's being human, period.
And that stuck with me, and I'm glad that you said that, Mary. So thank you for that.
Anytime.
You know, today we did not blow any, like, real news, but I will say that the Seattle Seahawks will be playing... the San Francisco 49ers, I believe, this Sunday. And I've heard that the Seahawks need to win the next 8 or 9 games to take us home. And I hope that all of Seattle gets what they want. And we'll definitely be watching. Peace and love.
Till next time.